yesterday I was at the West Covina Mall. So sometimes Meredith, she like goes and does Meredith things, so she has a break as mom. And then what we kids and I always do, we always do this. It's Chuck E. Cheese, Porto's, West Covina Mall kids area. That's like our thing. And so then you're like, that is a solid 3 to 4 hours of the kids just like running around having a ton of fun. So we're at the West Covina Mall kids area. And I just sat down and I'm just praying a ton, just praying in the spirit. And I just felt like I'm supposed to be praying over something, but I didn't know what I was praying for, what was it about. I just didn't feel released, like I was supposed to stop praying. So I kept praying, I kept praying. And after a bit, this young woman came and she sat like a little bit over from me. And I just kept praying. And then I see this guy walk in, young guy, probably like 20, 23, 24, super tattered up. I'm pretty sure he was a gang member, ex-gang member. And he comes, guess where he sits? Right next to me. And I'm like, all right, this is great. And when he was walking up, he's wearing this medallion. And so I was like, oh, that's gonna be my question for the casual question, right? I was like, hey, bro, I was like, you got that medallion on? And I was like, caught my attention. I was like, what's the medallion? He's like, oh, it's the Last Supper. And I was like, there's my, right? So I just step into that and I was like, well, do you believe in Jesus or anything? He's like, well, when I was in prison, like they talked a lot about God and everything, but like, I don't really believe in Jesus too much, but I believe he's like a person, he's real. And so from there, we just started talking and I shared my Jesus story with him and I shared the gospel. And he's like, I haven't asked God to forgive my sins yet. I haven't really surrendered my life to God. Because I told him out in the time when I hit my knees and I surrendered my life fully and it changed my life forever. And I said, hey, bro, I was like, what is stopping you right now from hitting your knees and surrendering your life to God and asking Jesus to forgive you your sins? He looks at me and he's like, all the people. Because, you know, surrounded all these people and stuff. And I said, you know, doing this, because he had two kids there with his wife. I said, you know, hitting your knees is the best thing you could ever do for your kids, too. And his wife was like, I'll do it too. I'll get on my knees with you. And so I said, okay, bro. I was like, let's do it. So we got on our knees right there in the midst of the kid area in West Covina Mall. And he talked to Jesus and got his life right with Jesus. And so, and then in the midst of that, one of my kids was like, I gotta go potty. And so I'm like, I was like, he's about ready to surrender his life to Jesus and hit his knees. Let's hold on. So, you know, if you're a parent, you're like, how far can I push my kid? Or they're like, they're not gonna like potty everywhere, but like, I gotta take them. So if I could go back, I would get his number because I was like, oh man, I get my kid to the bathroom. But I was able to give both him and his wife a Gospel of John and Now That You're Saved booklet and set him up for next steps and invite him out to enrich with our church card. So when I lead someone to Jesus, I commit to pray for them for 7 days. And what's cool about this is I was just hanging out at the mall. I was hanging out with my kids. And then as you pray in the spirit, like God will line things up that you don't know what's coming your way. And this is how we find people of peace. So these people that are open to God but don't know Jesus, and then they'll take the message of Jesus and spread it to all of their family and friends. So wherever you go, I mean, you're going to find these people who are ready to know Jesus. And you might be those people too, that God sent someone to you to know Jesus. So, you know, we're looking at Mark 5:1-20, and we just did our Discovery Bible study. How many of y'all looked at the text prior to it to see what was going on right before he did that? Anyone? No, not this time. If you would have looked, there was this crazy storm that happened. So there was this big storm that was going on, and you know, disciples were freaking out. Jesus, we're gonna die. Jesus gets up, and he just rebukes the storm. Boom, it goes calm. So did you notice that storm happened right before he met this guy, the demoniac guy who came to know Jesus, came to know him, and got set free and transformed and went and told 10 cities all about him? You have to think about what was trying to stop Jesus from getting to that person of peace. Do you think that storm was natural? Not at all. Because who was in the guy that was there? It was a legion of demons. About 2,000 demons were in this guy. Those demons know Jesus is coming across the lake. So if they could sink that boat, if they could destroy Jesus, then Jesus isn't going to show up. So spiritual forces of darkness will put obstacles in your way as you live in obedience to God's call on your life. So as you guys live your life for Jesus, you know, Satan and darkness, they're not going to sit there and just let you walk in and take their territory. They're going to come at you with everything that they can to stop you from living for Jesus. And so here's some of the things that'll be, and you'll be like, I've had those before. Now, we saw in the scriptures there was weather. So weather comes up. How many of y'all ever had car issues? Like, especially when you're supposed to show up to a conference and the alternator goes out, right? Do you think that was natural? No. car, kids, anything, just your kids like blow up and things go crazy all of a sudden, things are going to get sick. Anyone ever have marriage issues that are married? You're like, all married people are like, yeah, we've been there. Or if you're dating, right? There's stuff that comes up and you're like, what is going on here? How many of you just had like random health issues come up? You're supposed to be doing something for God and you get sick, or something tries to get you sick, right? Yeah, so sickness will try and hit you. How many of you had just like your finances just hit the ceiling? Like something comes up and you got like, you got to pay like $2,000 for get your car fixed, right? Or something will come up, that's car finances together. How many of y'all, your pets will start getting sick. Yes, someone's like, that was me, right? Someone's pets will start getting sick and it stops them from showing up to discipleship or crazy things, right? Or how many of y'all just start having work issues, like with someone you're working with or your boss or things that happen? When these things start happening in your life, we have to ask the question, what's the source? Because with Jesus, that storm that came with him wasn't natural. That was a demonic attack against him. So as you guys follow Jesus and you begin to live your lives as disciple makers, leading other people to Jesus and discipling them, Satan is going to take notice of you and he's going to throw things in your path to try and stop you. And I'll say this too, for those of you that are doing Healed and Made Whole or ready to start it, I've seen this time and time again, is that Satan will try and stop people from starting it or showing up to these Healed and Made Whole meetings. Because guess who gets out of those people? The darkness, the mess, the junk. Satan doesn't want to give up his territory. So if you're going to come up to Satan's territory, he's going to say, okay, what do you got? And you have to be ready to be able to stand your ground in the authority of Jesus and power of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ, take down the enemy. Because it says you have to bind the strong man, strip him of his armor, and then you can raid his house and take everything that he owns. So as you guys live as disciples and followers of Jesus, this whole thing is really about darkness and light. If you could peel back everything and see what's going on spiritually right now, there's probably a bunch of angels all around us. If you could look up in the atmosphere, there's probably huge dark figures and things going on, because this earth is filled with Satan and his demons. And there's more angels than them that are with us, right? So it's all about having a biblical worldview to understand what's going on. So there's a need to discern the source of issues so you can appropriately address them. Because if it's a spiritual issue and you keep doing natural things, that spiritual issue is going to keep happening and happening and happening until you uproot that spiritual issue. And then once you recognize the spiritual issue, you use the spiritual authority that Jesus has given you, and you're the one who binds and subdues the enemy in Jesus' name. So he gives you the authority. So that sets the stage for all this to understand what was going on behind the scenes before this took place. So let's look at Mark 5, 1 through 5 together. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man, demonized by an evil spirit, came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put in chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered along among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Did you see all the supernatural abilities this guy had? How many of y'all are strong enough, like Tim over here, who could just break a chain with his bare hands, right? Or Jaime over here, boom, snap him, right? So there's guys who are super strong, but this guy had crazy strength, like supernatural strength, to where when they would try and tie him up and hold him down, nobody could hold this guy down. He would break free every time. Did you notice that he was isolated? This dude was off living basically in graveyards by himself. What were some other things you saw? This dude was making animal sounds. He was howling like an animal. What else was he was doing? He was suicidal, right? So he was cutting himself. He was trying to take his life. So this dude had all these things going on that we can see that these demons were beginning to do. So when you drive around our area in the cities, right, that we live in, do you see a lot of the homeless people? What do you think their real issues are? They're spiritual issues that have gone to the 10th degree and really taken over their lives. So understand this, demons can influence and even control people. So demons can influence and even control people from the inside or from the outside. And so recognize there's two parts here. This could be you. You could be influenced by an evil spirit and not even know it. Or one could be having its home inside of you and you don't know it until Jesus reveals it to you and he sets you free. Or there's people in your life that are acting crazy and doing things that you're like, what are you doing? they could be being influenced or controlled by an evil spirit against you, your family, your job, all the things that we talked about. So recognize that these spiritual forces are at play in our lives and the lives of other people, and Jesus is our example of how we respond. So look at verses 6 through 13. So when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What's your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Thus the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged, "and let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission, and the spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd, about 2,000 pigs, plunged into the steep hillside, in the lake, and drowned there. Did you notice what happened when Jesus shows up? People bow. Demons bow. So it doesn't matter if it's a legion of demons. A legion is about 2,000. It doesn't matter if there's 2,000 demons in a person. If Jesus is in you and you show up and Jesus shows up, do you know what those demons are going to do in his name? They're going to bow. Because Jesus has power and authority over every demon. Whether it's a big demon, a small demon, Satan himself, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus is king. Did you notice the demons knew who Jesus was? They knew exactly who he was. I'll ask you this question. Who ran to Jesus? Did the man or the demons run to Jesus? The man ran to Jesus. So here's the thing. Even though this guy had 2,000 demons, the man's will, he was still able to use his will to run to Jesus. So it doesn't matter how many demons have. Demons are in a person or operating or through or around a person. If that person says, "I want Jesus," Jesus will show up for that person and set them free. It doesn't matter. And did you notice the demons tried to make a deal? That's how demons operate. They try and make a deal with you. "Hey, if you just, you do this one time, it's cool, I'll give you this." And then you make a deal with a demon. Guess what happens? You make a deal with a demon. It's able to put a chain on your life. Yeah, JR just knew it, right? He put a chain on your life, right? So when you make deals with demons, they put chains on your life. We don't ever make deals with the devil. We don't ever make deals with Satan at all. We say no in Jesus' name. Because when we walk in obedience to Jesus, chains break. Chains break. And that's how we get free, is in obedience to Jesus. Jesus asked the demon his name. Isn't that interesting? He said, "What's your name?" "My name is Legion, because there's about 2,000 of us inside this one guy." All right, let's say this guy's a big dude, right? Let's say he's a big guy. How do you fit 2,000 demons in a human? How do you do it? I don't know, but their spatial operation's different than ours. But 2,000 demons, probably over a period of time, got inside this guy. Did you notice the demons spoke? Did you notice the demons had a will? So demons are created beings just like us. They just don't have bodies. They're spirits, and they operate just like angels, except they're rooted in darkness. And did you know that you're actually a spirit being? Because when God created Adam in the beginning, he breathed into him, then he came to life. So you're actually a spirit with a soul inside of a body. Your spirit is eternal. So there's all these spiritual dynamics going on. And when Jesus asks the demon's name, it reveals its nature and its function. So when you're dealing with spiritual warfare, if you know what spirit's going on in your life, you're able to know its nature and its function. So with what Meredith and I encounter a lot, because I don't know if you know this, but Azusa had, because we've dealt with a lot of it now, had a high population of witchcraft. Do you know when we started planning this church, do you know what came against us? Ton of witchcraft. Ton of witches, ton of covens. They're all in Azusa. And you know what we did one by one? We took the hammer of God and we smashed each one of them, and we broke their territory. So you know who owns most of the territory now? Jesus through Enriched Church. When we recognized it was witchcraft, then we were able to deal with it appropriately. Do you know when witchcraft operates the most? There's two times. Can you guess? Yeah, the 3 a.m. Yeah, the 3 a.m. time, but in terms of like seasons. What's our Christmas is... Halloween. Yeah, so theirs is Halloween. if ours is Christmas, theirs is Halloween. That's why I recommend you don't really participate in Halloween, because it's actually Satan's holiday. And the other time is full moons. That's when they gather to do their stuff. So if weird stuff happens with your kids, like with dreams and stuff, or you get weird dreams around full moons, it's because there's the witchcraft that's going on. It's being released over the cities. And I've talked to different nurses too. And they said, yeah, full moons is when their patients start acting the weirdest. It's because there's a lot of spiritual stuff going on. And you notice that when the demon was trying to work a deal with Jesus, did you hear what it asked Jesus? Don't send us out of the... Yeah, don't send us to a distant place, or don't send us out of the region. Do you know why that is? It's because demons are territorial. They own territory. Because imagine if someone came in your house and said, get out of your house. You'd be like, no, this is my house. I don't want to leave. Or if I have to leave, like, don't bust me off to a different city. Like, I want to stay here. In the same way these demons are territorial, they want to stay in their territory. And then a power encounter ensues. So a power encounter is when the kingdom of light clashes with the kingdom of darkness. Because did you notice Jesus had commanded the demon to leave, and guess what it did? It didn't leave the first time. And so it started trying to make a deal with Jesus, being resistant. And so Jesus said, here's the deal, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and you're going to do it. And you know what the demons did? They did it. They submitted to Jesus. So the demons left the man, and they entered the pigs. And what happened to the pigs? They drowned. The pigs committed suicide. Why would pigs run into a lake? But remember, the nature of the demon and its function is revealed. And so when they went into the pigs, they killed themselves, right? And guess where the demons stayed? In that region, because they didn't leave. They were still with the pigs. So let's look at verses 14 through 18 and show you how this all plays out. So the herdsmen fled to a nearby town in the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been demonized or possessed by a legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed, perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demonized man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been demonized begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go to your family, go to your home, and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he's been. So the man started off to the 10 towns of the Decapolis of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. People respond differently to Jesus. Did you notice all the people responded differently? Some of the people like freaked out. Some of the people wanted to know more. Some of the people were like, get out of here, get out of the area. And so this drew people's attention. Did you notice what happened to the crazy guy? He was no longer crazy. Jesus fully healed him and made him whole. His fractured soul, I don't know how it happened or what the process was for this guy, but Jesus made him whole. And he was able to function. And he came and he put on clothes. So he was probably running around naked like a crazy person. But he put on clothes, he was sane, and guess what he was doing? He was sitting at Jesus' feet. Who else sat at Jesus' feet? Mary, to be in his presence. So the man came into Jesus' presence, and it transformed him, and it healed him, and it made him whole. Did you notice what the people were afraid of? The sane guy. Isn't that funny? They were afraid when he was sane, but when he was crazy, they thought it was normal, right? So you're like, what is going on to this backwards town? And I'll make a note too. The people probably freaked out, because imagine if you own a business of 2,000 pigs and your business dies instantly, right? So Jesus wasn't necessarily good news in some ways to some people, and he wrecked their life, but it's how they responded to Jesus determined their relationship with him. So when we think about the context of a person of peace, this is you. You guys are the messengers that have the solution for the problems of people of peace. So you as a messenger, you have the message, the solution for people of peace's problems. So the problems they have, you have the solution. And so with a person of peace, what they do when they come to know Jesus is they take that message and they go and tell it to everyone. So he went to 10 towns at Decapolis and he started sharing with everyone. Did you notice that he shared one thing? He simply shared his story of how he encountered Jesus and Jesus changed him. This is why at Enrich, we train everybody to be able to share their Jesus story. Who were you before Jesus? How did you come to know him? How has he changed your life? Because your story carries power, and when you share that with people, they're gonna see and hear how much you've been transformed. And so when you have people who have all these issues and they get transformed by Jesus, everyone knows that they got issues, and they probably stay away from them. But when they get transformed so much, they're like, what happened to you? Tell us more. Tell us how you got free. How did Jesus change your life? So when you think about how to identify a person of peace, so a person of peace can be a person of great distress. A person of peace can be a person of great distress. And it might be a person you don't want to be around. Like you don't want to have anything to do with because you're like, that person has so many issues. I just want to stay my distance from this person. This person can be highly demonized. They can have, 2,000 demons. They can be outcast from society, but they're known by everybody in a negative way. And here's the thing, that person of peace may actually seek you out. Because when you walk in the authority of Jesus, people will find out and they'll want what you have. And so they may seek you out and you have to be ready for a power encounter. So this means that if that person has demons in them, and raise your hand. If you know how to get them out of someone, raise your hand. A few people. All right. Oh, that's great. All right. You got it over here on the side. About half, right? So we need to be prepared that when someone comes to us, has these darkness problems inside of them, how do you get the demon out of the person? If I give you a 30-second how you do it, just have them ask Jesus, if they don't know Jesus first, they got to come to know him, right? They got to get Jesus living in them and in their spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. And then have them ask Jesus, hey, what sins do I need to confess? What do I need to get out of my life? And then once that person confesses their sins or they forgive the person that they need to forgive, then that stuff has no right to be there and it often leaves peacefully and you can cause it to go. So that's your 30-second, like, if you're thrown into it, just think back, what are we supposed to do? Lead them to Jesus, have them confess their sins, forgive people, and tell that stuff to leave. It's really that simple. And you don't ever have to be afraid of the demonic. So one of their main things they do is they try to get you to fear. How many of y'all wake up and you feel something fearful in your room before? You ever felt that? Yeah, I saw a bunch of head nods. That's spiritual stuff coming in your house wanting to cause you to fear. Happens to my kids. You know what I tell my kids to do? You tell that thing out loud in Jesus' name, get out of my room and never come back. Because you have the authority in Jesus to tell the evil what to do and it has to listen to you. Because Jesus is king, and he's already defeated all darkness. So living in your authority is super important. And when you have that power encounter, just hold your ground. Because it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So as you resist the devil and you walk in obedience to Jesus, Satan has no right in your life. He will have to go. He has to flee. So when you lead someone to Jesus, they have all these crazy problems. Investing the time in them is totally worth it. Even though like they might not show up or all this stuff's going on and like things are blowing up, just keep pushing through. Don't give up, because the transformation they'll have will reach a ton of people. Because get this, if Satan can keep that person in bondage and he knows they're going to go impact hundreds of thousands of people, do you think Satan's going to give them up easily? No, he wants to keep them in bondage, because Satan thinks generationally and he thinks ripple effect. It's not just one person. He's trying to keep hundreds in bondage. So this type of person of peace may be someone with a lot of problems and a lot of demons, but getting them free and navigating the often non-linear process is worth effort. I found in discipleship, it is not a linear process. Like, it goes up and down and sometimes backwards and it blows out the side and you got to put things back together. Like, but Jesus just says this. He just says, be faithful and love on the person and don't give up. And when there's a lot of spiritual dynamics going on with people, the way you're going to win this thing is you got to get on your knees and you got to pray and you have to intercede for that person. Or if you're discipling them together, like intercessory prayer together for breakthrough for those people is what's going to bring the freedom. Because one day they're going to be like, I'm showing up today, and they're going to be there. And you know what happened? It's because you prayed. And then guess what happens you can do then? You can help the person get free. right? So you'll see that prayer is the key for spiritual breakthrough. So we have to fight for these people of peace in prayer, because the forces of darkness try and keep them from you, and for good reason, because you have the solution to all their problems, and the solution is Jesus. And when you can introduce that person to Jesus, they'll be transformed. So how do you test for a person of peace? And I've said this over and over again, but I want it to be ingrained in us, because remember, discipleship is not about knowledge, it's about obedience. So I can say it to you 10 times for 10 weeks, and you're like, I've said it, you said this every week. And I'll say, but have you done it? Because remember, discipleship is about obedience. Have you been looking for these people of peace? So OHS, they're open to a relationship with you. They're hungry for answers to life's questions, and they share with others what they learn. Did you notice that was the demoniac guy? He was open to Jesus because Jesus had the solution. He was hungry for answers. I got all these problems. What's the answer? How do I get free? Right? And then he went off and told hundreds, if not thousands, of people what Jesus had done for him. And I'll tell you this, a lot of you sitting here are actually people of peace. And Jesus wants to train you and equip you because he wants you to reach your families. He wants to reach your friends. He wants you to reach the people that are in your network. And it's really simple. You just start telling them what Jesus has done for you and say, hey, do you want to read the Bible with me and come to know God more? So the reason we do Discovery Bible Study before the message is because we're training everybody to lead a Discovery Bible Study. Because if they like you, they're going to want to talk with you. They're going to want to hang out with you. Or you could even start one in your home with like your family, like your spouse. Or you can invite people in your house or your roommates and just say, hey, let's read the Bible together. And remember, if they're open to relationship with you, if they're hungry for answers to life questions and they'll share what they learn, oh, this is a person of peace. Continue to invest in that person. So our goal is this. Our goal is that everybody at Enriched Church is trained to find a person of peace from first contact to thriving and multiplying churches. So in essence, Jesus wants you to be a disciple maker, and he wants you to learn how to gather people in his name to start churches. Do you notice that we're meeting in a park? Like super untraditional, right? You don't need a building to be a church. You need a group of people who come together in his name, who celebrate baptism and communion and go after Jesus with everything, right? We gather in his name. So how many of you are ready to start discipling others and finding that person of peace? And I'll say this, like this summer, Selah, she started a Discovery Bible Study back home, and she rocked it. She gathered a group of people who are willing to come together and learn about God by studying the Bible. And Laura Meredith has started one too. George has started one. And like, so people are beginning to reach their family and their friends by just starting these really simple Discovery Bible Studies. And the idea is that anybody can do it. You just got to give an invitation, and then let the person choose what they're going to do with it, and get on your knees and fight in prayer. Because once you get that invitation, the darkness is going to want to try and stop it from happening. I'll share this, and then we're going to jump into one other thing. Our friends were here last week. I don't know if you met two of our friends, Mike and Becky. They were here. One of them gave us, Meredith and I, a prophetic word. And I was like, man, that, it was so good. Y'all see this tree right here? This is a huge tree. This tree is beautiful for us. We get good shade. So this is the word that was given, and it really resonated. And I said, I think this is from the Lord. So do y'all see the root system? It goes, do you see a little bit? But then it shoots down. Like, how far does it go down, and how wide does it go? That's our discipleship, and that's our leadership development as a church. That's why we focus so much on discipling people and developing leaders. It says if you can push that deep, then you have this really strong trunk, which is Enriched Church. Do you see all the different branches that come off and sprouting out? Those are other churches that are planted. And the hundreds of thousands of leaves, those are the people of God that are part of all the churches. So what Jesus wants to do is he just doesn't want to plant one church within Rich. He actually wants to plant, I think, probably hundreds, if not thousands of churches through what we're starting here. And he wants to see hundreds of thousands of people come to believe in him and get baptized. And they want to come to know him and live for him in obedience and his disciples and disciple makers. So you're part of this vision. You're part of this tree. And each of you have a role, an invitation from Jesus of, do you want to follow him? Do you want to be a disciple maker? Do you want to reach your family, your friends, your coworkers, the people in your neighborhood? And we're all invited in. And you know what he's going to give you to be able to do it? The Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, the Spirit will come upon you and you'll receive power to be a witness for Jesus. Without the power of the Spirit, We can't do anything. Like, this would never be here. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to do it. So when I was praying earlier, I felt like there was maybe an opportunity for a spiritual breakthrough for people. That people are kind of, they're feeling a wall, or they're at a point where like, I need spiritual breakthrough in my life. So we're going to have our prayer team come up. If, are you able to? Can you hold them? Okay, so Anthony and Brianna, and then Phoebe and Laura will be a team. And so if you want spiritual breakthrough today, like something's just like going on in your life that you need breakthrough, I'm just going to invite you to stand. And then our prayer team is going to come around and just pray like a simple short prayer over you for breakthrough. So JR, if you can come up here with the guitar too and strum. But if you want prayer, then you can hang out. Up to you. So we're just going to roll with it. If we don't have music, we're going to enjoy the birds and the silence and the breeze. If we do, it's awesome. So I'm just going to invite you to stand. If you want breakthrough in your life, our team is going to come around. So if you could partner up together, and maybe one of you guys take a side and then go down the middle. So Phoebe, if you guys can start over here, and Anthony, Brandon, if you guys want to start here, and then people that are standing, just pray over them. And if you're standing, you don't necessarily need to share anything. They're just going to ask God how to pray for you, and the Holy Spirit's going to show up, and He's going to bring breakthrough for you today. So take like 30 seconds to a minute to pray over each person, and you guys just kind of make your ways down the middle and meet halfway. So Jesus, we're super grateful for our gathering. We ask Jesus that you would take what you've done today, and that you would take that freedom and you would increase it in each person, that breakthrough, that spiritual acceleration, and that you would then multiply it to those who we're connected with, that we would bring that to them, the solution that you are, Jesus, for everyone. Jesus, I ask your protection over everyone here this week as we go. Thank you that we're under your blood. And thank you that you are our shield and our sword. And I ask you to place a wall of fire around each person, that you'd assign a legion of angels to us for your kingdom and gospel purposes. So Jesus, would you align those divine appointments for all of us, those people of peace that you'll release at the right time, that will be able to lead to you and see them lead a ton of other people to you, Jesus. So Jesus, we're grateful for this week. We're excited for what you're going to do. Would you fill us with your spirit and with your fire? Jesus, we ask this in your name. Amen.